Well, good morning. I would just like to say as we start, we really appreciate, our family appreciates the opportunity to come and be with you for the summer and help out at Camp Deer Lake. And we just enjoy being out there so much on the property, and we enjoy the ministry of the camp and all that goes on there. You just think of all those kids that are coming through camp. And there are kids that come through there, and you know, as we preach or as we may get to know them, they may be in causing problems or whatever it may be. You know, they may be one of those kids, but you just never know what God is doing in their lives. And it was really neat to hear the testimony of this young lady this morning. Went to Camp Deer Lake, surrendered her life to do whatever God wants to do there. And that is no small thing. And so praise the Lord for the ministry of the camp that is there. Praise the Lord for Andrews Memorial Baptist Church and for all that you do there. And we are just thankful to come and to be able to have a small part in what it is that you guys get to do year-round. And so we appreciate that. And just praise the Lord for you putting up with us, if I can say that, for the summer. And so thanks for allowing us to be here and for my family. And just thank you for all that you do for us. I have a question for you this morning. What time is it? I saw some of you look at your watch, and somebody's probably trying to look back there and say, well, it's about 10:25. What time is it? You know, I do not wear a watch. I just can't stand having something on my wrist. I don't know what it is. I guess I'm a wimp. It's too heavy or weighs me down, or I'm not sure what it is, but I don't wear a watch, and I can't stand a cell phone. It's my cell phone. I do have one. But it's out in my car right now, hidden away, and I don't keep my cell phone with me, and I don't wear a watch, and so I end up asking this question all the time. What time is it? Because I have no idea what time it is, and I'm sure that you have asked this question and a whole bunch of times. I'm sure that you have received this question a whole bunch of times. The other thing that I seem to never be able to locate is my glasses. And I can't see, even across the RV. It's getting worse as I get a little bit older. Even across the RV, I can't make out the time on the microwave. And I'm sure that my kids are all the time wondering, Dad, I just wish you'd wear a watch so you know what time it was. But Riley wears a watch, so that's great. So anytime Riley's around, I know that I can get her to answer that question for me. You know, what is behind that question? What time is it? Well, typically, you know, something is scheduled and we don't want to miss it. You know, what time does church start, right? We want to be here on time. What time does the kickoff to the big game start? How about this one? What time is it so I can know how much longer I have to sleep, right? You wake up at some time around, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning, and you want to know what time it is, and you want to know because you want to know how much longer can I sleep. This week was the last week of homeschool for our girls. They just finished up this week at school, and so they wanted to celebrate on Friday night by going camping at Camp Deer Lake. And you say, well, you are camping. I know we live in an RV out there at Camp Deer Lake. We like camp all summer long. But they wanted to go camping like on the ground in a tent. And I'm like, oh, why would you want to do that? We've got the RV there. We're camping already, but they wanted to go tent camping. So we set up a tent on Friday night, and we had just bought a new tent and at a yard sale. Don't worry, it was a used old tent, I suppose. And it's much bigger than our old one because my girls are getting much bigger. And I was so excited about this tent because there's room for an air mattress. And I wasn't going to have to sleep on the ground. And we had an air mattress in the RV, and I said, this is great. So I blew it up, and I went out there, and I put it into the RV, and it was great. And I was laying there, and we had gone to sleep, and I told my girls, I said, you know, this is the way to camp. And I'm not kidding you, I am not making this up. All of about 2 minutes later, we heard this big pop. Poof! And my air mattress blew a hole in it about the size of a basketball. And I don't know if I need to lose weight or whatever it is, I'm not sure, if they just not making air mattresses like they used to. But nonetheless, I woke up probably every 15 minutes during the night, and it was cold. It was Friday night. It was the last cold snap. I'm not sure why we decided to go then. But I looked for my cell phone, and I had it right there, and I looked at the clock probably every 15 minutes all through the night, and I kept asking myself, what time is it? Because I wanted it to be over. you know? I wanted the morning to come. I wanted the sun to come up. I wanted it to warm up. You know, what time is it? We ask this question a lot. Well, my question for you this morning, Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, is simply this. What time is it? In order to answer this question, I want us to consider the answer to that question in light of the early church. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We are still in the church age the last time that I checked. So therefore, God's plan for the early church here in Acts is the same as God's plan for Andrews Memorial Baptist Church today. So if we can answer the question of what time is it for the early church, then we can, by inference, answer the question, what time is it for Andrews Memorial Baptist Church? Because it's always the same time in the church age for the church. Jesus has not raptured out the saints from this world. I'm looking forward to that happening. But it is still a time yet future for us, so we still find ourselves in the church age. The seven-year tribulation is not currently taking place. The Antichrist has not been revealed. We are in the church age. So the instructions that's given to the church in the book of Acts would be instructions that are given to us as well. So what time is it this morning, church? In Acts chapter 1, let's just read the first four verses, and we'll find the first thing in verse number 4 that we want to look at. The Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dig into the points of the message this morning. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for Andrews Memorial Baptist Church. Thank you for Camp Deer Lake. Thank you for the day school. Thank you for the ministries that they have here, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would be with me this morning as I preach your word. Father, fill me with your spirit. And Father, help us to listen to the things that you have to say to us from your word here this morning. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. The first thing I see here in verse number 4, that for the early church, it started with a time of waiting. Would you look at it in verse number 4? The Bible says, "And being assembled together with them," this is Jesus and his disciples, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." The disciples were waiting for the empowering of the Holy Spirit that would soon come at Pentecost. And it's fascinating to me, here in the scriptures, we find that they were told not to depart from Jerusalem. Does that sound familiar to anybody in this room? A time of waiting, being told not to depart from a certain location or perhaps your home or whatever it may be. They were told not to depart from Jerusalem. But even in this time where they were told not to depart from Jerusalem, I want you to look over in verses 12 to 14, where we'll find that even while they were waiting, even while they were told not to depart from Jerusalem, they were still making a habit of assembling together. Look in verse number 12. It says, "And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet." So they went to Jerusalem where they were supposed to stay, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren." So even in a time of waiting in the early church, even in a time where they were told not to depart from the city, they still made a practice of gathering together. It's fascinating, too, here as well, that the commandment to wait came from the Lord Jesus Christ. He told them, "I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there." And you're waiting for something very specific. And, of course, we know that that came at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and they were empowered and began to preach to the multitudes. I want to point out to you, though, today that we have no command from God today to wait. That's not a command for us. God did not tell us to wait. God did not tell us to stay in Jerusalem, or God did not tell us to stay in Graham or Haw River or Burlington or any other such place. Yet we do find that the church today has been in a time of waiting, a time of waiting due to the global health pandemic. And I understand those things, and it made a lot of practical sense. In the early church, and I want you to see this, they started and there was a time of waiting. But I am so thankful that the book of Acts is not a book about waiting, but it is a book that is about action. Look in chapter number 2. The Bible says, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." There they are meeting together again in this time of waiting. In verse number 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the houses where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together." What time is it? I think it has been a time of waiting. But what time is it in the book of Acts? When that time of waiting period comes to an end, it is time to get busy. I love the word there at the beginning of verse number 2. And what's it with? What's the word? Suddenly. And suddenly the time of waiting ended. Suddenly the situation for the disciples changed. It was no longer time to wait. It was a time to get involved in the ministry. What they were waiting on had come. And when that happened, they came out and they engaged with the multitudes. They came out of hiding, if I can say it that way, and they began to have an influence in the community that they were with. What time is it? It's time to quit waiting and to get busy in the ministry. I wish that you would just take a few minutes, maybe this week ahead, to just look around, to look around at the multitudes. They're everywhere, you understand. There's people everywhere that need the Lord Jesus Christ. I was privileged this week to be able to take an evening, and I went out with Brother Steve, and we went and we just did some door knocking and some visitation in the area here right around the church. And can I just share with you that within a stone's throw of this building, there are real people with real needs that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're everywhere. Oh, we had some wonderful conversations with people. You know, there wasn't a single person or a single home that we went to that told us that we should go away because of the pandemic or anything like that. We found people to be very receptive to our presence on their doorsteps, and very receiving and very interested in the church and the things that it had to offer. We talked to a number of people in probably an hour to an hour and a half that evening. We talked to a number of people who were Christians. Christian people who just weren't in church for one reason or another. You know, those people are everywhere, right? No matter where I go in this country, whenever I get out of the church, the four walls of the church, and whenever I go out into the community, I find these individuals. And you know what those individuals need? They need to be a part of a local church. That is God's plan for the Christian. There are so many people who've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they are choosing not to be involved in a ministry like this. And there's a bunch of them that live right here in your neighborhood. And what those people need is to be confronted with the truth of the Scriptures. They need to be invited to church. They need to be loved. They need to be gone after. They need to be sought after so that need can be met in their life. We met a great number of people who had never trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. We met people who didn't want us there, not because of the pandemic, but because of the message which we were sharing of Jesus Christ and hope. And that's just part of it. That's never going to change. It's always has been that way, and it's always going to continue to be that way. We met a young man who claimed to be an agnostic. He believed that God existed, but he didn't believe that he could know who Jesus was. And so we were able to talk to him from the scriptures and let him know that Andrews Memorial Baptist Church was a place that he could come and that he could learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. He could learn who God was and that God had revealed himself to us in the pages of scripture. And whatever the need is that's there, man, there's a lot of needs. The multitude is there. In Acts, there was a time of waiting. And when that time of waiting came out and they saw the multitude and they began to engage with the multitude and they began to preach to the multitude. And wonderful, tremendous things began to happen when the church came out of that time of waiting. Look around you. The multitude is there and they need to be engaged with the truth of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have heard that people are moving to the Carolinas, perhaps like never before. I call them donor states, but there are certain states out there that people seem to be fleeing. And these people are fleeing these states and they're moving to other places. Texas is a big place that people are moving to. Florida is a big place that people are moving to. In January and February, we were in Florida and we would find people that had just moved from some of these donor states. And they had just moved literally in the past couple of months. And here in the Carolinas, people are moving here like crazy. And the multitudes are coming to you. And I think it's wonderful for us to support missionaries that are taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and taking the truths of the scriptures to places that we cannot physically take it. But I want you to understand something. The multitude is here. The multitude is in Graham. The mission field is the United States. The mission field is Hall River. The mission field is Burlington. The mission field is right here in the neighborhoods around the church. There are so many people here. And we must do whatever we can to meet them. You know, my home is not even for sale right now. And I have gotten several text messages this week from people who are interested in buying my home. They're trying to buy it, and I'm still living there. And the point is, people are moving here. They're coming to this area. They want to be here. And it's our job then to go and to find these individuals. And when we find them, what do we do? Look in verse number 14 of the book of Acts. We're going to cover six chapters this morning. We're just going to kind of fly through some things. And I'm going to pick out some verses to answer this question. What time is it for the early church? It's a time to be busy in the ministry. In verse number 14, the Bible says this, but Peter, standing up with the 11, of course the multitude was assembled together here, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. What time is it? It is a time to preach. It's a time to preach the word of God. And you say, well, that's what you're doing this morning, and we're here listening to you. And I praise the Lord for that. I'm glad there's people here to preach to. Amen. It'd be a little depressing this morning to preach to an empty auditorium. But listen to me. It's a time for all of us to preach. Every single one of us, if we're Christians, is commanded to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take tracts with you. Share the gospel with people. Go out on purpose to meet people, to be able to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't be preaching as long as we're isolated from everyone. Preaching demands that there be an audience, someone for you to preach to. And it is now. It is time now to proclaim the gospel, to preach the resurrection, to preach the goodness of God, to preach the truths of the scriptures to people. What happens typically when there is a time of preaching? Well, it's accompanied by a time of conviction. Look in verse 36 and verse 37. If we preach, if we'll recognize what time it is and we'll preach, then we'll see that this will be the time as well. In verse 36, the Bible says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That's conviction. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, it is a time for conviction. But we're not going to see the conviction unless we recognize that it's a time for preaching. Because there's not conviction without the preaching. So when we preach and when we declare the gospel, The Holy Spirit then takes the gospel and the word of God that is shared with others, and he bears it home to that soul, and he brings about conviction in that person's life. It's not our job to bring conviction in that person's life. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And as we share the truth of the scriptures, God will do what only he can do. And I want you to notice, too, now the environment that they were in. Look in verse number 40 of Acts chapter number 2. The Bible says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort." Must have been a preacher with many other words, right? But anyway, he says there, "With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." What time was it? What time is it? It was a time of wickedness here in Acts chapter 2, and it is a time of wickedness in which we live today. I want you to think just for a moment about the book of Acts and the time that we find ourselves in with the early church. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was literally just publicly executed by hammering nails into his hands, nails into his feet, cramming a crown of thorns onto his head after having beaten him with lashes for 40 stripes. The man was a bloody pulp, and they hung him up in public on a cross to make a mockery of him. Was it a wicked time when the early church was starting in the book of Acts? I think it most certainly was. It was an awful time, even compared with the day in which we live today. I want you to think for a moment about when Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ was born, and the king didn't like it so much, and he declared what? He declared that every child under the age of 2 be executed. Could you imagine something like that taking place? Having soldiers on horseback come to your home, beat down the doors, come inside, and literally with swords kill the babies that were in your home. This was an awful time. And yet we find, in spite of a time of wickedness, that the church was able to flourish and the church was able to thrive. So we don't want to use the excuse of the day in which we live in order to limit the God in which we serve. It was a time of wickedness when the early church was taking place. Sin was rampant in society. Immorality abounded upon every corner. And I want to say to you that at least that part, with the immorality abounding on every corner, sounds like today, doesn't it? The world around us calls wrong right, and it calls right wrong. Every man today seems to be doing that which seemeth to be right in his own eyes. I understand that it is a time of wickedness in our society, but that need not be an excuse that we fall back upon for not doing the things that God has commanded us as Christians to do. It was a time of wickedness. But even in times of wickedness, people can respond to preaching. And it was exactly that. It was a time for responding to the preaching. Look in verses 40 and 41 of Acts chapter number 2. The Bible says, we just read this verse, but, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word in this time of wickedness," they that gladly received his word, "were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." It is a time for responding to preaching. Now, there may be somebody here and you say, "Well, you know what? Going out and sharing the gospel with people just doesn't work anymore, so that's justification for not doing it." And I say, bah, humbug to that. We don't go out and share the gospel with people because of its effectiveness or because it's not effective. Why do we share the gospel with people? Because it's commanded to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Only when it's convenient and only when they listen? I don't believe so. We are to preach the gospel regardless of the time. Think about Noah for a moment, would you? Old faithful Noah. The Bible records that he was a preacher of righteousness, yet he didn't have very many converts, did he? But yet he was faithful, and he finds himself in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Faith Hall of Fame because he was faithful to do the things that God commanded him to do. And so should we. Go out, preach the gospel. But let me just say to you as well that this is a day and age in which people do respond to the gospel. This is a day and age in which people do get saved. I spent the last 2 months in Pelzer, South Carolina. It's about 30 minutes south of Bob Jones University in Greenville. I mean, we're talking the heart of the Bible Belt. You could say it's an area very similar to this one. And we would go out, and we were visiting there, and we were knocking on doors, and we were talking to people. And I'll have you know that in 2 months, we had nine people, all adults. Well, there was a couple of teenagers. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior because of going out and knocking on doors and just telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It still works today, folks. The gospel is powerful. The gospel is effective. The gospel is still good news to people who have never heard it before and know that they're sinners and want to be saved from their sin. It is a time for responding to preaching. In verse number 41, it talks about the fact that those 3,000 were saved, and then the Bible says, and they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It's a time for church membership. Look in verse number 42 again. I don't think we've read verse 42. Let's read verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We find a number of things in that passage. When we ask our question, what time is it? We can answer the questions there from verse number 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It is a time for knowing your doctrine. What do you believe about salvation? What do you believe about sanctification? What do you believe about who God is? What do you believe about who Jesus is? What do you believe about who the Holy Spirit is? What do you believe about the church, the doctrine of the church? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about future events? All of these things are things for us to get to know. What time is it? You say, I don't know the answer to some of those things. What time is it? It's a time to get in your Bible and figure out what you believe. It's a time to know your doctrine. It's a time for doctrine to be taught. It's a time for doctrine to be preached. And it's a time for Christians to understand what this book says about who God is and what He expects of us in this life. In verse number 42, we find that it's not only for a time for doctrine, but it's a time for fellowship. I really enjoyed last Sunday night service out at the camp. And we just got out there, and we had some food, didn't we? It's escaping my mind exactly what we had. We had ice cream, homemade ice cream. Praise the Lord. How could I forget such thing as this? It was wonderful. I ate so much ice cream. I waited all the way until the next night to have more ice cream. You know, it was just, I love ice cream. We eat ice cream almost every night. And it's a time for fellowship. And I think that COVID has been eye-opening to me about how important fellowship is. It's really exposed the need for fellowship. Church, while it should be about preaching, and church, while it should be about lifting up the Lord and entering into His gates with thanksgiving and praise and singing and singing the hymns and all that we do. Yes, church is about all of those things, and yes, but church is also about being together with God's people. And that's why when I meet Christians in the community that they're saved, but they're not in church, they're just missing out on what God wants for them. Church is about fellowship. Church is about getting together and hanging out for a little while after the service and talking with everybody because you miss them and you love them. And these are the people that think the same way about the Lord Jesus Christ that you do. And we can have fellowship, Christian fellowship. And the Bible knows that. And this is one of the reasons that God put the church there for us. Verse number 42, it says it's a time for doctrine, it's a time for fellowship, and it says it's a time for breaking of bread. A time for reflection, of taking communion, thinking back on what Christ has done for us, looking forward to what's going to happen when Christ returns. And then at the end of the passage, it's not only a time for doctrine, a time for fellowship, a time for communion, but also a time for praying. I am so happy that we serve a God who listens to us and answers prayers, don't you? Since we have a God who listens to us and answers prayers, we should pray to Him. We should pray. spend time in prayer. If God is a big God who can do big things, then our prayers are just simply too small. Don't be afraid to go to a big God with big requests, because we serve a God who can do abundantly above, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Look in verse number 47. I like how it starts out there. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What time is it? It's a time for praising God. I don't know about you, but I have found myself getting frustrated with the days and the age in which we live. I get frustrated, and hopefully I'm not the only one. Maybe I'd be glad if I was the only one, but I'm sure that I'm not the only one. You know, the greatest cure for frustration is to just sit back and praise God. Praise the Lord for who He is. Get your eyes off of your circumstances. Get your eyes off of the things that are frustrating you and focus them upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have a time of confession here this morning. I was doing some work out at camp this week. You say, you just got here. I know, I just got here, been working out there, and I'm already frustrated, right? I got out there and I was doing a job. I was cleaning some gutters, and I just really got aggravated. That ever happened to you? Not necessarily cleaning gutters, but you know, you're doing a task, it just gets aggravating. I was working on these gutters, and there's all kinds of birds' nests in there and everything, and the gutters weren't designed very well, so they're prone to clogging, right? And I'm an engineer, structural engineer, and I think about all these things, and it just started to drive me crazy. And I wasn't just frustrated because I was a mess, and I wasn't just frustrated because I was wet, and I wasn't just frustrated because of all the mud that was in the gutters and all the rocks that were in the gutters that were clogging it up, and I wasn't just frustrated because of all of that stuff. I was also frustrated because this thing wasn't even designed well, and it's going to clog again as soon as I get it unclogged, and I just was frustrated. Well, I feel better. I'm glad you know I'm human now. And I recognize those, you know what, my spirit is out of line. I'm frustrated about something I shouldn't be frustrated about. And so I began to just praise the Lord. I began to praise the Lord for those of you here who may have built those gutters and put them up, and for the shelter that they would provide if they did work properly. And again, began just praise the Lord for the camp and the ministry of the camp and for the kids that would be coming this summer to camp and for the work that God wants to do in their lives this summer at camp. And I just began praising the Lord. I began praising the Lord for all you folks that keep the camp running. And I began praising the Lord for Pastor Rouse, who just kills himself in all the ministries of this church in order to keep them running. And I just began to praise the Lord. And you know what? Before I knew it, the gutters were clean. The job was done. My spirit had been renewed. And I just moved on with life. Never underestimate the power of praise. You find yourself frustrated, it's never a time for a Christian to be frustrated. It's always a time to be praising God. Just praise the Lord. And then at the end of that passage, I love that, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We've kind of already talked about that, but it's a time for adding to the church. And let me just say this. When you are involved in trying to add to the church with new converts, it takes a great deal of patience. Growing a church by seeing people saved and seeing them added to the church takes a lot of work, folks. You spend time with a person to even find the person that you can spend time with. You spend time with that person after you meet them and find them in order to share the gospel with them. After you share the gospel with them, you have to spend time with the person to teach them the scriptures. Teach them what God expects of them about baptism. Teach them about what God believes about the local church and the fact that they should be a part of the local church. Teach them that they should give up their Sundays to come to church. Teach them that there's a midweek service that they can come to. Teach them all of these things. And folks, I just want to tell you, it takes a lot of time. It takes time. But it is time for adding to the church. And I suggest to you that there is no better way than to add to the church with new converts. I'm almost out of time this morning, and I have two more pages, so we're going to run through the rest of this message. The church had a good start in the book of Acts. We've already talked about the fact that there were 3,000 people who had been saved, and the Lord was continuing to add to the church daily. What time was it for the early church then? Was it a time for them to rest on their laurels and to rest on the success of the past? No. It was a time for the church to press forward in perilous times. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temples and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide." It was a time of opposition. It was a time of danger. These people were being put in prison because of the fact that they were going out and witnessing to people. You and I aren't facing that today, are we? I know there could be some health concerns about going out, but there's always been opposition of some kind that is there to stand in the way of doing what God is asking us to do. And these people in the early church, these disciples, in a time of opposition and in a time of danger, they boldly went forward. And I want you to notice the results of doing that in verse number 4. "Howbeit, even though they were put in jail, even though it was a time of opposition, even though it was dangerous times," in verse 4, "howbeit many of them which heard the word," what? "Believed." It is time. It is time. We could go through the rest of this, but I don't know that it is necessary. It's time to lift up Christ. It's time to get rid of excuses. In verse number 13 down there, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Listen, these people could have said and had all kinds of reasons for not going out. It was dangerous times, and they were unlearned men, and they might not have had the answer that everybody was going to ask them, but yet they went anyway. It's a time to just get rid of excuses and to be about the business that God has called for us to do. A time of threatening, a time to boldly proclaim the word of God, a time to be filled with the Spirit, a time for unity, a time for a powerful witness, a time to confront sin, a time for the number of disciples to be multiplied. Let's go over to chapter 6. We'll read this first 7 verses and then I'll be done for the morning. The Bible says in chapter 6, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied," boy, I tell you, wouldn't that be great for the number of the disciples to be multiplied? Wouldn't you like to see the church here grow not by addition and not, I was going to say not by subtraction, but that wouldn't be church growth, would it? Not by addition, but by multiplication. Man, that'd be fantastic. "Here it was happening. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose out Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." What happens here in Acts chapter 6 in the first 7 verses? You say, well, this is where the first deacons were instituted, and I would agree with you with that. But what I want to share with you is what happened here is the pastor got the help the pastor needed. What time is it? It's a time for all of these things that we've been talking about. And it is a time to help the pastor. You say, well, you're preaching that just because you're at Andrews. No, I'm preaching that because it's Bible and I preach it every place that I go. Every pastor needs help. We have a wrong philosophy of ministry in this country where we think that we hire a pastor to do all the work. We hire a pastor to lead us and to guide us and to do the things that God has asked us to do. And every person needs to be involved in the work of the ministry. What time is it? The book of Acts starts out with a God-instituted time of waiting. But suddenly, that time of waiting was over. The multitudes were seen, and God was doing a great work. People were preaching. People were responding to the preaching. People were getting saved in and amongst a time of wickedness and a time of danger. Listen, folks, they did it in the book of Acts, and I want to suggest to you that we can do it again today. I don't know how the Lord has pricked your heart this morning in this time of worship, but I just pray that as the Lord has dealt with you, that you would do business with him. We'll just take a few moments here as we close our service to just let you bow. I won't ask you to stand or anything. I ask you to spend a few moments of reflection just with the Lord and do business with him as we seek to close out our service. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a few moments of silence as Pastor comes. Father, I want to thank you for all that you've done for us today, and I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for that early church in Acts, Lord, that we can look back to as an example, as a model, Lord, of how to do ministry. Father, thank you for all the things that we've heard this morning as we sought to answer the question of what time is it for Andrews Memorial Baptist Church. Lord, I believe the simple answer to that question, Lord, is that we would just be busy in the ministry. There's so much work to do. There's so many people to be reached. Father, I ask that your will and way would be done in this time of invitation as we have a few moments of silence. And in Jesus' name, amen.